From Radio Deutsche Welle, Melody Time. We invite you to join us for half an hour of light classical music. Hello and welcome to another edition of Melody Time. I'm Paul Bendereau. And it's the name of Strauss which once again gets the program off to its start. Johann Strauss Sr., to be precise, with a waltz which is rather unusual in that it has a distinctly British flavour. It begins with the traditional naval anthem of the former great sea power, Rule Britannia. And it concludes with the national anthem itself, God Save the Queen, skillfully arranged in waltz time. The monarch in question was the young Queen Victoria, who had just ascended the throne. On the occasion of her first official court ball, on the 10th of May 1838, Strauss Sr. dedicated this waltz to the young queen.
Thank you.
tribute to Queen Victoria of Great Britain, the rather cumbersome official title of that waltz by Johann Strauss Sr., played by the London Symphony Orchestra under the baton of John Georgiadis. The waltz, understandably, proved to be particularly popular in Britain, and not solely because Queen Victoria herself loved dancing the waltz. What Strauss skillfully and diplomatically succeeded in doing was to blend British tradition with the distinctive sound of Vienna. And the result went a long way towards overcoming the reservations about waltz music, which were rather widespread in Britain at the time. Strauss Sr. loved travelling, which was rather unusual because travel in his day was a fairly arduous business. Johann Strauss Jr. was probably much more typical of the age. He positively disliked travelling, and only did it when his musical commitments made it unavoidable. We'll come back to the young Strauss later, but first, a young man who set off on his travels for the sake of love and covered hundreds of kilometres on foot to reach his loved one. At the same time, travelling was part of the young man's profession as a bird seller. Adam is the name of the hero in the operetta, The Bird Seller, by the Austrian composer Karl Zeller. And Adam walks from the alpine landscape of the Tyrol all the way to the Rhineland Palatinate to see his heart's desire. Now, if I'd covered that distance, I don't think I'd be in a mood to talk to anyone. But Adam is clearly indefatigable, as he demonstrates with his cheerful song of greeting, Grüß euch Gott alle miteinander.
Zeichen, dann singen sie zurück. Eins, zwei, drei. Anderswo, Tiere, die so schnell begreifen und die Schmerzen gut verpfeifen. Flix, flux, flax, florio, nur die Vögel singen so. Flix, flux, flax, florio, singen nach froh. Doch das Vogel weiß, das erfordert Fleiß. Nix kommt von allein, man muss auch willig sein. Manchmal sind sie stur und sie plappern nur, doch dafür hab ich eine gute Dressur. Ich nehm's Futter weg, ich nehm's Wasser weg, und dann merken's gleich, es hat keinen Zweck. Ja, bei Vogeln, da geht das geschwind. Schade, dass die Frau nicht so sehen und das weiß jedes Kind. brauchst nur sagen, bitte sing uns, dann bleib es nicht stumm. Bei den Frauen kannst du dich plagen und dann halten dich auch noch für dumm. Für ein Vogel brauchst nur pfeifen und dann gibst dir sofort einen Kuss. Wenn die Frauen denn nie begreifen, was die Liebe erwidert sein muss. Ja, sogar die Christel sticht mich wie eine Distel, wenn ich sie mit der Rose vergleich. Mach mich eifersüchtig, injuriert mich tüchtig, weil sie weiß, ich bin weich. Und ich werde täglich weicher, wenn ich nur ihre Nähe spür. Sie wünscht, ich wäre reicher, und ich bin doch nur reich mit ihr. Sie wünscht, ich wäre gescheiter, sie hat recht, das wär ein Glück. Dann züge ich sorgenlos weiter und käm niemals hierher zurück. Doch ich komme immer wieder, weil ich sie vielleicht auch einmal hol. Und wenn nicht, lass ich mich nieder, einsam irgendwo in Tirol. Alles nur dumme Gedanken, denn irgendwie muss es gehen. Flix, flux, flax, florio, schließlich geht's auch anderswo. Erst hat jeder seine Wut aus, und am Schluss geht alles gut aus. Flix, flux, flax, florio, also geht's hier ebenso. Flix, flux, flax, flix, flux, flax.
Voice of Fritz Wunderlich as the bird seller in the operetta of the same name by Carl Zeller. Now let's catch up with that other reluctant traveller, Johann Strauss the Younger. In fact, he was more than reluctant, he had an absolute phobia about travelling. So we can imagine his feelings when the Irish-born impresario Patrick Gilmore offered Strauss a concert tour of the United States. In the end, the combined efforts of Gilmore and Madame Strauss, and doubtless the princely fee on the table, persuaded the maestro to undertake the long sea journey. In fear and trembling, Strauss drew up his last will and testament before setting off. But in the event, he wasn't even seasick. And what a time awaited him. Gilmore's speciality was organizing monster concerts. At one of them, Strauss found himself in charge of 20,000 singers, a vast orchestra, and 100 sub-conductors. And a cannon shot was used to start them all off for a performance of Strauss's famous Blue Danube. "We all began more or less at the same time," Strauss later reported, "so my whole attention was devoted to ensuring that we all finished at the same time as well." They must have managed it, because the American critics outdid each other in their superlatives. That must have been very gratifying for Strauss, since his work often came in for unfavourable criticism back home in Vienna. Take, for example, his operetta Das Spitzentuch der Königin, which the press panned when it was premiered. Strauss got his own back, though. For the next journalist's ball in Vienna, he presented them with a polka made up entirely of melodies from the operetta. The title? Stürmisch in Lieb und Tanz, Stormy in Love and Dance.
Thank you.
the Czechoslovak State Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Alfred Walter, in that performance of the Strauss polka, Stürmisch in Lieb und Tanz. The title didn't actually come from Johann Strauss himself, but from his brother Eduard, who conducted the polka at that press ball in 1881. Eduard, the youngest of the three Strauss brothers, was a brilliant conductor, punctilious in rehearsals and conscientious in preserving the Strauss traditions of performance. He was also remarkably progressive in his performances of contemporary concert and opera music. His own dance compositions, unfortunately, always suffered in comparison with the music of his brothers. Nevertheless, he continued composing, especially polkas, which earned him the nickname of the Polka King. Quite a few of his polkas, in fact, were inspired by the latest technical developments of the day, like the hectograph or the telephone. These were the sort of subjects that greatly appealed to Eduard Strauss. Let's sample one of them, inspired by the new railway line running right round Vienna. Here's the Slovak State Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Mika Eichenholz, with the non-stop polka. Non-stop polka by Eduard Strauss. It's remarkable how many composers were inspired in their dance music by the rhythms of the new machines. It was quite a trend during the early years of the industrial age. Let's finish this time with another example. In 1838, Philipp Farbach, a friend of Johann Strauss the Elder, used the rhythm of the steam locomotive for his Locomotive Gallop, a dance which worked up both musicians and dancers into dizzying speeds.
Thank you.
Locomotive Gallop by Philip Farbach, performed by the Slovak State Philharmonic Orchestra, ending this edition of Melody Time. Our program was compiled by Barbara Anders. Our producer was Stephanie Giesen and our studio engineer, Brigitte Kaiser. From me, Paul Bendelow, goodbye until the next time. Melody Time is a production of Radio Deutsche Welle, Cologne.